Be like, click here to end.
Warning. Or like, cat lovers only, click here. But I'm not even worried about a skeleton. Like,
I think you should be worried about skeletons. But the virus could, in fact, help preserve them more, longer.
No, that's impossible.
When did you become a ninja where you can just climb anything?
Maybe I would try to launch a couple chairs at the tiger.
I'd like to say that there's a lot. Look, I mean, I'm not going to say that I'm a great writer here, but look.
You don't see me going up into the Himalayan mountains and trying to pretend I'm a Yeti, man. That's just not going to happen.
And that's probably a wrong fact, but I think that's true.
It's rushed. Drought rush day.
Yeah, well, what's the deal? What are you doing?
Well, I mean, I got my garage door. My garage door isn't working for some reason. So I wanted to fix that. It was it's still not fixed. I mean, I don't know.
You know the
garage door? Like, and you don't know because you don't have a garage.
No.
But there's like little sensors. They're like safety sensors. I don't know if you have to have them, but our garage door has them. They're safety sensors. So like, if someone like is trapped underneath the garage door while the garage door is coming down, it like stops and like backs up.
Right. That makes sense.
So the issue becomes that these lights have to be lined up. There are two sensors on either side and they have to like focus on each other. And so when they're broken, when that little beam of light or whatever is broken, then it stops the garage door coming open. So every once in a while you have to make sure that they're lined up. And for some reason, they're just not working at all. Like I don't think power is getting to them.
Yeah,
I can't figure it out. And they're running through the garage door through like the, the sheetrock that's on the garage door. It's like, I mean, it's behind all that crap. Like,
so
I don't even know
the
where
problem is
going.
The door doesn't open or close, or just won't close.
It won't do either. If I could get it to close, maybe I could get it to open like automatically.
Right.
But it will certainly not come down. So it'll go up. Yeah, it'll go up. But then I have to do everything manually to go shut down. It doesn't matter. Who cares? If one way or the other, it's a pain in the butt.
I don't know. Yeah.
I think it's like the green lights won't even, there's little green lights that indicate whether or not the sensor's being shown.
Right.
Like if it's picking up the light beam, then green lights appear on each one of these sensors. But I can't get any green lights to show up at all. I don't think there's any electricity going to the sensors.
Well, don't you have a electricity sensor? Didn't you get one of those?
What other adventures?
Little pen thing that you just wave over a wire.
I don't know how to work that thing. That thing is it's always beeping. Like there's current everywhere. Like I can't get it to like figure out like how sensitive is it? I don't know.
That's ridiculous.
I can't figure it out. It's like
it's ridiculous. You can't figure out something in your own house. Like,
well, look, I mean, like it's
this is your house. Man. This is where you live. This is you have to be able to fix everything in there.
Yeah, but it's not like I built this house with my bare hands.
Yeah, but I'm not saying you had to. I'm saying, you know the house. You've lived there for a while. You should be able to fix the things in the house.
I mean, look, I know what the problem is. The problem is the sensor isn't working.
Yeah, then fix it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I have to pull out all the wires.
I'd have to run new wires.
I don't know how
you
to
just
do
find
that.
Out where the electricity is or not using that pen thing.
That's okay. Let's say there's no pen, there's no electricity going into them.
Yeah.
I mean,
somewhere along the line. So you go to the source.
Yeah.
And you see if there's any electricity going there. And if there is, then you have to rewire it.
Yeah, that's easy. Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll just rewire it. It's behind the It's behind the drywall, man. It's all behind the drywall.
This
isn't just like, oh, I'll just do it. Like,
but here's
easy.
The thing. If there's no power then going to from the source, then you know that that's what you have to replace. And then you don't have to replace everything.
Yeah,
maybe it's just the sensor. Maybe the sensor is the problem, and you just have to replace the sensor. See, you're getting all worked up over nothing.
I think it's I think, but it's both sensors. Neither sensor works. Therefore, I think it's coming from the, like, there's somebody chewed something, some animal or something.
Yeah. I mean, you should be able to take care of your own house. This is what I'm saying.
Dude, you should talk. You live in you rent, man. So you just have somebody take care of it for you.
Yeah. Somebody takes care of it. But I'll tell you this, if something goes wrong in this place, I have already scouted out everything and know how to fix it.
I guarantee there's going to be stuff you know. Look, for the most part, I know how to fix stuff. And look, there's some things that you just can't do, like plumbing. Can you do plumbing?
Yeah, I don't like plumbing, but I can do it.
You can't do plumbing. You can replace a toilet?
Yeah, I have.
Have you? You need to come over to my house, man, because I've got things for you to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, if I lived in your house, you wouldn't have any problems because I'd fix it already.
I still have this problem, man. You wouldn't be able to fix the garage.
How long have you had this problem? This is what I want to know.
Today, it just started.
Started. All right, I'll let you pass since it just started.
And I was rushing because I had to get to the Shotcast, man.
Yeah, we haven't done a Shotcast in ages. I think this is going to be season 3. It's been so long; it's a new season.
Well, that's because you were on a movie shoot.
I was on a movie shoot. Yeah.
I mean, a real feature type thing, right?
Well, it was a short. It was a real short. It wasn't a feature. But it was great. Yeah. It was fun. It was getting back to my roots.
That's good.
Yeah, it was great.
So you should do, man. You should do all that kind of stuff. It's time consuming.
Well, yeah, you can't do it with work. But I was lucky because work, it was a production that work was putting on, basically.
Yeah.
So they said I could do it. I didn't have to take any time off or anything like that.
Good.
Yeah, it was really fun. It got me like thinking back about, you know, how film works and the magic and being on set and all that good stuff.
Oh my gosh. You artist types.
It's not an artist. I'm saying
elite Hollywood.
Elite Hollywood. Yes. Yeah. I wouldn't say artist. I would say elite Hollywood. Yeah.
You know, but you're not in Hollywood. So it's like, at least you liberal New York media.
No, I mean it goes more than that. It's more of an elite, because you are you're doing something that nobody else does, really, and nobody else can really do it.
Gosh. Yeah, you're right, and it's such an important.
It's not necessarily important, but everybody goes and watches movies, but not everybody knows how it's made. It's like a secret thing that I can do that nobody else can do.
Sure. Yeah. When was the actual last time you made or watched a movie? Went to the movie theater. Went to the movie theater to watch a movie.
The last movie I saw was Moonrise Kingdom.
Oh, that's a good movie. You saw that movie?
Yeah, I saw it twice actually.
Did you see it did you see it at Burns or did you see it somewhere else?
I saw it both times in an actual movie theater. Not that the Burns isn't a movie theater, but not for my job. Yeah,
it's very easy for you to see that.
Let me put it this way.
Getting into a vehicle or
I paid money to see this film twice. Paying money. Yeah.
Why'd you see it twice? That's interesting to me that you'd go see a movie twice. That's like $50 probably you spent.
Yeah, it's close to $50. I really liked it. So I saw it the first time with Brie.
Yeah.
And... Oh, there's a weird noise. I hate that.
Is it on my side or your side?
No, it's on my side. It's going to bother me now. Oh, well. Can you hear it?
No, I can't hear it.
It's driving me crazy. It's this whole new system. I mean, this is the whole thing with the Shotcast, too. I was away doing, like, film work and stuff like that. And then also we tried doing podcasts and... It wasn't working because things weren't matching up correctly with our programs.
Yeah.
So now we're using a new program, and so this is the first time that we're using it, and I'm hearing sounds.
I think it's fine. It's fine. It
doesn't matter.
We'll do for the first shot. We'll come back season 3. Look, we'll do a movie review. We both saw this is very rare that we've both seen the same movie.
That's true.
This hardly ever happens.
Yeah, because I don't see movies,
And I don't ever see movies either. We both happen to see this same movie. So yeah. Go ahead, give me a review. You've seen it twice. What are your thoughts?
Let me start off by saying that total disclosure, I like Wes Anderson films.
So do I.
I just want to say that.
Yes.
In love with Wes Anderson. I'm not in love with all his films, but I like his films. So I'm just saying that right now, that I have a bias towards Wes Anderson because I like his films.
Yeah, but have you seen all his films?
I haven't seen, what film didn't I see by him? The D-Gendler Express or whatever. What was that movie called?
The Dear Jing.
Yeah, Dear Jing.
I didn't see that movie. I haven't seen as many as you have. I haven't seen Life Aquatic. I haven't seen Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah. So
all the others I've seen.
I would say, I think I can appreciate it more because I saw Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Why would I need to see Fantastic Mr. Fox in order to enjoy this more?
Because just looking at his work as a whole, I look at like this film that he just did, Moonrise Kingdom, as like everything that he's done was incorporated into this film. To me, it's almost like, I don't want to throw this word around or you know, make light of the word, but masterpiece in his...
Wow.
So what I would say is he's been doing all these films, and when I watch Moonrise Kingdom, I see bits of things that he's learned throughout his other films put into this one in a very, like, perfect way.
See, this is going to be great because you are... I'm not trying to be glib or anything, but you are like a film critic. I mean, quite honestly, you've studied film. You're a student of film.
I'm a student of film.
You know what? You know things about film that me as a layman, right, I don't necessarily.
Right.
I
go elitist shows, me.
Yes, you're an elitist. Layman, I am more of the proletariat. Right. So I go into a theater and I'm just looking to enjoy myself and. So go ahead, continue on. I will give you my review, my non-elitist film review after I hear from you.
Right.
But I just want to throw that out there. There's two different opposing sides. This is pretty good. We have a good back and forth here.
To me, first of all, his art direction, I mean, it's crazy. It was.
I don't understand. What are you talking about?
Okay, there's something in film. Oh, this is going to sound really elitist. I'm hesitant to even say this. Do you know the term mise-en-scène?
No, I have no idea what that means.
Mise-en-scène. You got to say it like a little Frenchy.
Sure you do. It's French, yeah.
Mise-en-scène.
it doesn't sound French at all, actually.
It's a French word. It literally means within the scene.
Okay.
Basically, it's the mise-en-scène of a movie is everything that's in front of the scene, in front of the camera. So it's the costuming, it's the set design, it's what everything looks like, it's how people act, you know. So I think his films have a certain look to them.
Yeah, right? For sure.
And so I like it. I like that, and I liked what he brought into here. I liked the world that he created and what that world looked like.
Yeah.
I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah.
I liked how he used the camera in the film as like...
See, I don't even notice stuff like that. I don't know what you're talking about.
Like for example, you remember the guy, he was like, he was kind of like the narrator.
Yeah.
And he was like in a very documentary type position in the film.
Yeah.
I liked how that looked. It looked very like in keeping with the time period, like in the, you know, it was the 40s, 50s time, actually 60s, right? It was on the 60s.
Yeah, I think
early 60s probably. Yeah. Right? So his style of, so the film itself looked like it would have been a 60s era film.
Right, right.
And that type of documentary was very like the whole Jacques Cousteau type thing, right, right, right. Life Aquatic. It was that kind of feel. Even the framing of him was like, mm-hmm. it was an awkward framing, but it was like, it fit in perfectly with the documentary film of like, if you went back and watched 60s documentaries,
right,
it would look like that. And I appreciated that.
That's interesting. Yeah, see, that didn't register with me at all.
So I appreciated all that stuff. I was really into the whole like Boy Scout kind of thing.
Yeah, the Scouts.
That world that was created within mm-hmm. the Scouts, I really appreciated and liked.
Yeah.
I liked the characters of Bruce Willis and mm-hmm. Ed Norton. Like, they actually yeah. surprised me a lot.
The Bruce Willis character surprised me.
Yeah, so that was, you know, whenever I'm surprised about a character, mm-hmm. like that really shows, you know, that the filmmaker was thinking about
it. Here's what I liked about the film. Like, literally, it was like, and this is what I like when I go to a movie, like, I like to just enjoy myself.
Right.
And like, Wes Anderson, all his movies are like this, but this movie in particular was like, it's like you're being transported to a completely different world, like it's very similar to you.
Yeah,
to
like I wouldn't say it was I'm completely in. Different.
But it's like, it's his own style. Like yeah. this, the world, everything fits within that world.
Yeah.
Like everything is perfect. Like you don't have to, even though it's not the world that we live in, it's exactly the world that you know, the movie is being in, and it all fits together.
Perfect.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the style is it. And literally when you're watching like one of those, like the Moonrise Kingdom, I felt like I was like just in a different place altogether. You know what I mean? And that's what that's what I really liked. I really liked going to the theater and just being and watching a movie. And it felt like it was something completely different, but yet I totally got everything that it was,
right.
You know, that was portraying.
Yeah,
and I like that. You know
that's
what I mean?
Him setting up. I mean, that's what he's really good at, like setting up that world. And I feel like this was, like all his other films were kind of still in the real world, and this one he really did create his own world.
Yeah, yeah. Like you know, like you can go to a movie and like a rom com or something like that or whatever, and like. Their picture, like it'll show like a cityscape or a town, and that town is directly from, like our world. But it always seems like in this particular this Moonrise Kingdom, like everything that was put in front of the camera, like you were talking about the mise en scène was like literally made specifically for this entire world.
Right.
Like everything, it just seemed that way. You know what I mean? Like, it just seemed like the boat. It's not a normal boat. It's a boat from his world. You know what I mean? It's not mm-hmm. a boat from our world. It's a boat from his world.
That's what I also liked. There were, like, these magical things that happened that made perfect sense.
Yeah.
When he was, when they, speaking about a boat, and I'm not sure what boat you were talking about, but, like, the boat where they finally get to the island with the camp on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they do the whole thing, and they're shipping off, and Jason Schwartzman's going to take them away, mm-hmm. and the boat just kind of like goes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know? That's what I'm talking about.
It was
so
perfect.
Yeah.
And there were little stuff like that throughout the whole film, like just these moments of it couldn't happen, but yet it does, and it works, and you totally believe it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what was so great about the film stuff. Now, that's the look of the film, and I really, 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 really like the look of the film itself. You know what I mean? I think it's so important because it takes you somewhere, mm-hmm. and then you're totally accepting everything because it's a different world that you're in. Right. But I thought the storyline was great too. I just really liked how earnest all the characters were. You know what I mean? Like, especially the two main characters. I mean, I really thought that they. I like to see that develop. You know what I mean? I liked how earnest they were in the fact that they were like in love, and it was like something that was really real and true to them at the time. Right. I thought they did those, and they're kids. I thought they did a great job.
Yeah, I thought they did a great job too. I thought all the acting. I mean, they were great actors in the.
Let me ask you this: like, how does like like, is it the director's job to get like those performances out of a like an actor? Like how does that happen? Because like Bruce Willis is, in one movie, he may be like, you know, yippee-ki-yay. And in another movie, you know, he's something else. Like Sixth Sense, he's something else. And then in this movie, I thought he was something completely different too. But like, there are other times when he's not, like, I think famously in Kevin Smith's movie, the Cop Out or whatever. Right. You know what I mean? Like, is it the director's job to do that? Or how does, you know what I mean? How do you get that from an actor?
Yeah, it's that's the director's job. The director's job, the director has a big job. The director gets the script, and then he starts to, or he writes the script, or she writes the script. And then they start to imagine what those words look like as visuals. And they have to create this world, and they create the characters, and they think about how the characters would react to certain situations. And the script is a big part of that, but the director is really the one whose vision it is, right? And then his job is trying to communicate that to everybody else.
Right.
And then everybody else on the film roles, they have their own specific roles that takes his vision or her vision and you know, if it's the lighting, they create the lighting to make it look like what the director's thinking about, or they talk to it. Now, directors have different styles, and you can see Wes Anderson has a vision and knows what he wants. Some directors kind of go in and say, you're the professional actor. What do you think? How do you look at this character? What do you think they should do? You know, so there's different ways of directing.
I almost think, like, since I'm not an actor, I've acted before in various productions that we have done, but I would by no means say that I'm an actor, but it must be easier for an actor, like in a film like Wes Anderson's film, he has a clear vision. You know what I mean? Like, it must be easier for an actor to get into that mindset when the vision's so clear. Hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I that's what I would tend to think.
I don't know. I mean, I think it depends a lot on the actor. I mean, Bruce Willis, for example. I'm thinking of Bruce Willis and Kevin Smith, right? And the story that Kevin Smith tells about how Bruce Willis was talking about, like, hey, Kevin, what lens are you using right now? Right. And Kevin Smith's like, I don't know what lens I'm using. Like, that's not my job. That's the guy who's working the camera. I tell him what I want, and then he gets the lens that makes it look like what I want.
Right.
But like, Bruce Willis has been around film so much, he knows those things. So he wants to know what lens is on me, so I know what I look like, so I know what I have to do. Mm-hmm. And I think if you as a director can't communicate that, then Bruce Willis is not going to be able to work with you.
That's so interesting, the whole dynamic. You know what I mean? Like, because when we've made, you know, like, because we've done our share of goofing around and like making movies and everything, but everybody usually is on the same page. It must be so much harder when everybody's like not on the same page. You know what I mean?
And I think
like,
that's
when
what's
it's not a shared vision. You
know? I mean, that's what's so great. That's what's really nice about working in film is most of the time everybody's on the same page,
right?
Because we're all trying, no matter who you are on a crew, you're trying to make this the best movie that you can.
Right.
You're all trying, on a good crew, you're all trying to make this like look good and do what the director wants and, you know, make things look really nice. And if you're on a crew that isn't in that mentality, then you get problems.
Yeah.
But it's like on a crew, we were working 20 hour days. I mean, right. I literally had like 4 hours of sleep every night, and you work with the same people that whole for like 5 days straight for 20 hours a day. Like there's a real like family environment that gets built.
Right.
Which is funny because then it all goes like, then you never talk to those people again. But like if you're on a team like that, it's really, it's, that's when films come together, and that's when everybody's on the same page and working together. If you don't have that in your crew, then your movie is going to fall apart.
Well, interesting. Well, I think I really liked Moonrise Kingdom. I thought that was a great movie. That was a great film. And I just enjoyed spending it was only an hour and a half, but I just enjoyed spending that hour and a half in someone else's world. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's what I like when I go to a movie. I just want to be in that world. Let's say like the new Batman movie, was good. You didn't see the new Batman movie.
I haven't seen it. No.
Yeah. I mean, it was good, but like at the same time, it's like, and that's the same thing. Like it's a totally different world. You know what I mean? It's Gotham and everything like that. And it's got a feel for it. And it was good. Don't get me wrong. I definitely enjoyed the Moonrise Kingdom better than the new Batman movie, even though I did like the Batman movie, you know, just because I thought it was more of a,
well, it's two different movies. So.
Yeah, I know. I mean, but it's interesting how both those movies are take place in a different world, essentially, but they're supposed to be our world. You know what I mean? Like Gotham is the Marvel, DC in the dark DC universe. You know, the United States is still the United States. They just have like these, you know, added cities like Metropolis and Gotham and things like that.
But really, is it? I mean, isn't?
Yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be like just normal.
But isn't Gotham like New York City? Isn't that what it is?
Yeah, I think that's supposed. I think it's supposed to be like New York City, but like it's still like. Oh wait, am I thinking of Marvel?
I mean, I hate to break this to you.
No, I'm sorry. Marvel. I think now I'm all screwed up because I think Marvel actually is everything is the same. And all the characters live in the same universe in Marvel, right?
Right.
It's the Marvel universe.
But it's not DC, our universe.
Yes, I think it is. In DC, I think DC is a little bit different because they have Metropolis, they have Gotham, they have these other places.
But don't they have different, like, worlds? Like,
that's
like, what
that's,
about Bizarro world?
Well, no, it's not Bizarro. You're not thinking of that. But that's, like, there's different timelines. Like, there are different universes. Let's say Batman, there's a couple different Batman comics because they've spread off into different, like there's a Batman comic that would have Batman and Robin. And then there's one that doesn't. Right. And then there might be a universe that Batman has been replaced by Robin. I think these are all timelines that have happened. And so they've split everything up into different universes. In order to make everything make sense, because you can't have a
but none of those universes are our universe.
I think in Marvel it is. I think Marvel.
No,
it
but
is.
There's no super. I hate to break this to you, but there are no superheroes.
I know, but they're supposed like in the Marvel universe, like all the superheroes, like X-Men live in the same realm. X-Men and Iron Man and all the Avengers. I mean, those guys are all in the same world, like they know each other.
Yeah, but they're not in this. They're not in the world that I'm living in right now.
No. I'm not saying they live in this particular world now, but in the comic book itself, it's Earth.
Yeah, but I would argue that the Moonrise Kingdom took place in Earth.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. That's a fine argument.
Yeah. It's not an argument. It's what it is. No argument. No,
but that's not the point. The point is the same thing, like Moonrise Kingdom on Earth, but there's a different feel for it. Batman in Gotham on Earth, but a different feel. It's not our Earth. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know what you're saying because you're saying you didn't like the Batman movies because it was like that?
I was saying that they're very similar. How both these movies are similar. They take place in Earth, except in different Earths, right? Different stylistic Earths, right?
All right, but, I gotcha.
So they're both the similar movies in the fact that they're transporting you to a different Earth-type area, right?
Right.
But in the, you know, it's not some rom-com where it's New York is New York, right? And this is like they're transporting you to a different place.
You're not sleepless in Seattle.
I'm not sleepless in Seattle, right? Well, all I'm saying is, like, out of those two movies, I like Moonrise Kingdom better stylistically, even though stylistically, Batman was its own thing.
Right.
Same thing?
I see what you're saying. But, I mean, both movies had a different feel. I mean, it's a totally different feel.
Christian Bale's voice as Batman is the worst, man. It's the worst.
He was using that as like going back and forth between Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, I get it, but it's the worst.
Batman.
Yeah, I just don't like it.
I don't know. I was just watching the animated series, Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah.
Remember that? Yeah. The show. And the voice changes with that Batman as well.
Yeah, but I don't remember it's so annoying.
I don't think it was as annoying. You're right. But there is definitely like this voice change that he becomes Batman. And even there were as an episode I saw where he was even still looking like Bruce Wayne, but he was talking as Batman and the voice came out, which was what I liked about some bits in The Dark Knight or whatever the last one was.
Yeah, The Dark Knight was fun. I mean, people saying The Dark Knight was better. I like this Batman Rises better, or The Dark Knight Rises, or whatever it's called.
So you would say the third one, this is the third
one. I like the third one the best.
Hmm.
I did. I'd like the third one the best. Now, I think that's going to, a lot of people are not going to agree with that, but
I don't know if you've seen this movie Bronson. Have you seen the movie Bronson?
No.
The movie Bronson is about this criminal. It's a true story. Well, it's based on a true story, but the true story of this guy Bronson was that he, in the British system, penal system, like he was the most like famous criminal because he'd always be in jail and he'd always be like doing something crazy, like revolting.
Right.
But this guy, okay, so just watch the movie Bronson because it's awesome.
Is this like Bane? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, it's Bane.
Okay.
The guy who plays Bane.
Yeah.
This guy, first of all, is like unbelievably like ripped. I didn't see the movie Bane. I didn't see him in Batman, Bane, but was he big? He was a big guy?
He's a big dude. Yeah.
Yeah. He was huge. And like in Bronson, he's just so crazy.
You can't tell because he's got the mask and like as he, when he plays Bane, he's got a mask. He's not very expressive. He uses the voice. I don't know if that's his voice or not.
I don't know. I don't know what his voice is either, but I'm telling you, watch the movie Bronson. It is crazy. It's crazy. Okay.
Bronson.
Like this guy Bronson is, I mean, basically he was a character that just always grew up in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing he was really good at was fighting. And so, like, he'd be in jail, and then he'd come out of jail, and he'd fight people.
Yeah.
And then he'd go back in jail and, like, fight people, and then go out of jail. And fight. He was just, like, that's all he did was, I am in jail, and I fight.
How did he die?
He's, like, kind of crazy. He's, like, I mean, this guy is, like, he ended up being, like, you know, this old guy in jail, but still, like, right. Beating the crap out of people.
I mean, it's like there are some people that are like that. And like, you know what the funny thing is? Like I think you need, this may be controversial, but I think you need people like that in society.
But people that just like are crazy or just
crazy
beat up
people? Crazy people. Like, this may sound crazy. Okay. But the people that like, there's lots of people that don't have like a lot of empathy. They're kind of like even psychotic in a sense.
They're psychopaths. Right?
They don't feel empathy. They're like all these other things. And but like our military is like filled with those types of people.
Mm.
And not only that, but like the special forces guys.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're asking them to do a very specific job, a very hard, tough job most of the time. Right. There's only a couple people that can do those types of that type of work. And most of them are psychopaths.
Mm.
And so like my argument would be, yeah, the psychopath. You need psychopaths. Psychopaths are in general bad because they do all sorts of crazy things.
And you're also saying psychopath can take on a meaning that maybe, you know, we hear the word psychopath and we think negative.
Yeah.
But you're saying psychopaths can be positive if their energy is put into the right place.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. I mean, you're not going to be able to collect them all, right? All psychopaths and put them in. But I think like psychopaths, you know, this you know, desire to like not have empathy, to win, you know, this competition type thing. And like, I think even a lot of CEOs, I think you would classify as like, you know, people that like, you need those types of people in society.
Do you really need the CEO who would rather make a lot of money and knows that he's harming people? That's, you think you, we need those people in society.
I think it's a difference between knowing and not caring. Like he, the CEO that need, that is making a ton of money, right? What's, who's he making a ton of money for?
Himself.
Not just himself, but there's a lot of other people that are making a lot of money off that CEO who's making money for himself, including the government. The government's getting its share as well. So you can't run, you cannot run a country if you don't have those types of individuals.
Yeah, but my argument would be, then there are people that are being hurt knowingly by these people, and you're rationalizing it by, well, in the long run, it's better because everybody gets a shared amount of money. Even though some people get more money, the government eventually gets their money, and that means that government can help people that are being harmed by this guy in the first place. Well, like that doesn't make any sense to me.
In a perfect world, the person that's making a lot of money, right? He would be providing that money. That money would trickle down to his workers and everything like that, right? And everybody would be sharing the wealth. And I think some of it does happen, okay? Because some of the wealthy individuals do get, I mean, if you're in a very successful business, right? There's lots of other people profiting off your business. But, right? Let's say Apple. Apple, right, they make a ton of money off of different products, right? And there's lots of people that benefit because Apple makes these products.
Right.
So, you know, and I would say that, you know, what's his face? Steve Jobs or whatever, was by all accounts like really focused, right?
Right.
Didn't really care too much about what anybody else. He had a vision and he was doing it, right?
Yeah, but I think that's different than a psychopath who doesn't have empathy for people.
Why do you think Steve Jobs would have empathy for people? From all accounts, he was really an ass.
I mean, I don't know anything about Steve Jobs, but what I would say is,
I think we like to think about our CEOs like or people that are making lots of money be able to share that money with everybody else, so everybody gets a share, right? And it would, but what I'm saying is, people do profit in the long run. People,
I understand,
you know, because
that.
Of these individuals, you need these individuals to just go balls to the wall, right? And leave chaos in their wake if they're going for an idea. You know what I mean?
But I think there's a difference between just going balls to the wall and stepping on people and not caring about people and like having a vision and goal and getting there, acknowledging that there are people that can be hurt or that need help or that because of my vision and because of what I'm doing, other people are not.
Yeah, but then what if you have to compromise your vision in order to make sure those people are helped?
Right, and I think some people can do that. Like, let's take a look at if we're sticking with Apple, there was that whole Foxconn thing over in China.
Yeah, I hate to bring that up because wasn't there like lots of controversy over whether or not
there was controversy over whether or not people were really killing themselves every single hour. But I think overall, everybody agreed that Apple was just one of the companies that were taking it, basically using all of these resources, and the people who worked there were not getting fairly treated, right? And now Apple has gone and they said, okay, we want a quality product, but we also don't want these people to live a lower life or have a lower degree of living because of us. And they're going there and helping. and
right. And so what? So there has to be. So there is then something has to change.
But what I'm saying is this:
Foxconn becomes more expensive.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Foxconn also, it wasn't just Apple; it was all these other companies as well. The other companies didn't do anything. So it's like, so you could be, you could have a company that knows what it's wants to keep prices low for everybody, which I don't think Apple ever wants to, was thinking about. But I mean, they want to basically want to get as much profit as they can. But I think what was nice about what Apple did was they looked and they said, oh, we can't just stomp on people, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Look, I'm actually, I'm a liberal in most social, in almost every social category you can think of. And but if we're talking about like psychopaths, I just think it's an interesting thought that I think you do need, people always have that negative connotation of psychopath. But I think that you need those types of individuals in society.
Well, I think, would you agree that there are probably different levels of like, I mean, what's the difference between sitting there and rationally thinking about, okay, I need to, you know, in order for me to get what I want, I need to hurt these people. And I understand that and I don't like it, but I think my cause is worth it. Besides people who are just like, I don't care what those people are. They're nothing to me. This is the only thing that I want.
I think you're putting your empathy. I think it would be more like this is what I want. This is what needs to happen. The idea that they're thinking of what's going to happen as a result to people is not, you know, that's not what that doesn't enter into their mindset.
Hmm.
This is what needs to happen. This is how I do it. This is how we're going to do it. And by not having any kind of empathy, you're not thinking to yourself, well, that's going to hurt those individuals, but I don't give a crap. It's more like you don't even know that there's – that doesn't come into your mind that the individuals are going to get hurt.
Yeah, but once you say there are people out there – I guess maybe I'm putting too much empathy for the psychopaths.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily a bad thing is all I'm saying. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, I mean, it sure has a negative, and it can certainly be a negative, right? But there's also, I think, positives that can come from it.
If but I mean, can you be somebody who's a psychopath, doesn't understand empathy or have empathy or have any kind of like moral direction in their brain? And can you be somebody who is so caught up within himself that those priorities shift and that maybe he didn't start off that way but has become that way? And I would argue that a psychopath is probably has been that way like from a very young age compared to
I don't know
else.
Because I don't know if moral well you had brought up the like moral I don't know if that's the right I don't know what the definition of a psychopath is. I think it has a lack of empathy. I think that's part of it. But I don't know if more. I think you can still be morally. You can have.
I don't think so. I think if you have a definition of psychopath, and I should ask Bree because she would know. But if you're like definition of like psychopath, I think not only I think it has that like that they don't have that little. I don't know what I don't. Know, I'm losing. What it is, but it's like that moral compass,
right?
Just isn't there. There's no such thing as that.
You don't think they don't have a good or bad?
No conscience. They have no conscience.
Yes. Yeah, but I would say that was like, yeah, okay. But that's different than morals.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. But that's what I'm saying. Like, they just don't even have that. That's not even, it's not something that they've lost that or have like, that's, they've been doing something so long that it's just kind of gone away and they don't see it. They just don't, they don't, it does not even exist in the first place. And I think difference. Right. I think if you're a psychopath, like I would even argue like I think there are probably psychopaths in the military and probably even in the special forces. But I think, I don't know. I just feel like you also have to be like, well, I guess they're really usually, psychopaths, I think, are usually really intelligent as well.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Do you think that you could, do you think society could continue with no psychopaths? Let's say everybody just had a conscience and everybody had empathy for everybody else. Do you think you could run a society that way?
I think it would be a really great society. Huh. Because why, if you were in a society and everybody had empathy for each other and everybody was like, oh, you know what? I understand where you're coming from. Can we, you know, work through this or not? Then we start working through things and we start working through our problems, saying, you know what? I'm not going to pull out my gun and blast you in the head because I feel from where you're coming from. I understand where you're coming from. And so then I have empathy towards that. If I don't have empathy, and I have never been taught that or don't learn it or don't care about it, that's when I'm like, you know what? I want that and I'm taking it. And I don't care if it's yours or not.
What
everything comes down to is I want that.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that's just because I think in human nature, this is why I have a friend who's a socialist, and I said socialists are never going, it's never going to work because the human condition is just not set up that way. The human animal is set up to be as lazy as possible. It really is. We want to do the absolute, like, least we can, because that's how all humans are set, or all animals are set up. Animals are set up to conserve energy.
Right.
That's what they want to do. They want to conserve all their energy for any time they need it. And humans are the same way. They don't have to do something, they're not going to do it. So when you have people, some people working really hard, other people aren't working as hard, people are going to, it's just not going to work out.
Yeah.
Humans are going to be lazy by nature.
Right. I understand that. But I don't think psychopaths can work really hard.
Yeah, they can.
For what they want.
Right. Does that sometimes lead society into newer innovations?
Yeah, but I would also argue that innovations are also created for the needs of not just one, but of the many. I'm not saying all innovations are like that, but like a lot, I would say, are like, hey, this is a problem for a lot of people. We need to figure it out.
Right.
Not like, oh, this is a problem for me. I need to figure it out and I don't really care. And if it happens to help other people, I don't even think about that.
Let me ask, you use a Mac, right?
Yes.
Right, and you use an iPhone.
Yeah, I have an iPhone.
And so the other option would be to use a, PC of some sort.
Right.
There's a vast difference between a Mac and a PC. They do the same thing, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't say vast difference.
No, they do the same thing, but there's difference. One is different than the other. You know, so at the time when people were developing the PC. Or the Mac, you know, and the Mac. It was happening relatively at the same time.
Right? Yeah.
People, a lot of things happen at the same time.
If you look back in history, a lot of inventions are happening at the same time.
Exactly. So we have two right now, right? Because one person decided, I'm going to go this way with my idea. And another person said, I'm going to go this way with my idea. So now we have two choices. We can have a Mac if you want, or you can get a PC if you want. It's two different ways of doing things.
Yeah.
If we lived in a society where we didn't have people that said, you know, innovators and say, this is what I want. I want to put out a product. I think this product is the way to go. I like this product the best. I'm going to continue on with this product and my idea and just blaze a trail forward. Instead of saying, let's all get together and sit around and figure out which is the best. Should we all just focus on Macs or should we all make PCs? Which is the best? Now we have two options. Now you have options. And because there's two options, they're always fighting and competing against each other to make a better product.
Right. Right, but that's one example. But like, but what I'm saying is like, I don't think those people were psychopaths who, you know, like the inventor of the computer. Like, first of all, the computer, the home computer, you should really say, because they were just taking parts and just making them differently.
Right,
it's the operating system. I mean, that's competition.
They had a vision. They had a different way of doing things in order to move
forward.
But
they weren't like, but they're not like, I'm going to like destroy humanity so that I can build the Macintosh computer.
What do you think Steve Jobs would want? He wants everybody to have a Mac, right?
Right.
And the PC maker, that's HP. I'm HP right now. HP wants everybody on HP to have an HP product.
Right.
Because they get money from it. They earn the most profits from it.
Right.
So they don't care. They don't care what Macintosh users. I mean, this is the thing. Like, I think like leaders are on their, like, real big innovators, right? People that are making huge changes don't care what other people think. They care only about what they think, right? And get other people on the same path as they're going on the same path. And they're not concerned about, you know, making compromises.
Yeah, but
empathy and what was the other thing? Empathy and a conscious. They deal with people who want to compromise and make it. And I understand what you're saying. I empathize the way you feel. Let's try to work out your way and my way together. Somebody who doesn't give a crap about that is just saying, no, this is the right way. We're doing it this way. I don't, you know, this is the way we do it.
Yeah, but I mean, I would also argue that like there's people. Like that's like having the best personal computer is not necessarily the most important thing out there, you know?
No, I'm just giving. Yeah, I mean, I'm just giving you an example.
I'm just saying.
Society. I mean, this is like. I mean, these companies are huge now. They're large companies. They employ thousands of people.
Yeah.
And so those people are now have jobs, and they can now contribute to society in a meaningful way by paying taxes to the government, right?
Yeah, but
by buying other things.
Yeah, but they also then influence the government so they don't have to pay as much taxes, and therefore they get to keep more of their money. Like, I think that there is like a breakdown there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get me started with it. I mean, taxes are, you have to pay taxes.
I understand you have to pay taxes. I do.
Yeah.
All my money goes away. My money is gone because of taxes. I don't know how other people, rich people, they have money because of taxes. That's difference.
Yep.
That should be a different shot cast because that's not necessarily psychopathic. Or maybe it is. I guess you could argue.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think we went off the rails here because we were supposed to be talking about the Moonrise Kingdom.
Right. Which I think doesn't have many psychopaths in it.
Anyway. I don't know. You saw it more than I did.
Well, that's true. I don't remember any psychopaths. All right. That's the Shotcast for this week. It's third season of Shotcast, episode one. We're off to a good start, it seems.
Maybe.
All right, so I think we got things working. There's a little noise in my end. I'll try to figure that out. And so next time, maybe our shotcasting can be up to the quality as a normal shotcast.
That's a low bar.
It's a low bar, and let's try to get it. I mean, let's try to get it.
The problem is neither you nor I are psychopaths.
Yeah, that's the problem. And we are lazy.
Yeah, human nature.
Human nature. All right, that's the Shotcast for this week. I'm Brady.
I'm Brian.
Hold fast.